Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Radio Free Nintendo, courtesy of NintendoReport.com. I'm your host, Carl Castanet, and first up, my co-host, Mike Sklenz.
Hey there, everybody.
And across the internet in Colorado, Jonathan Metz.
Hello!
Yes, yes. And you might notice that there wasn't an episode last week. And
Just a little bit.
Let me tell you why.
You can blame Stephen Wendy Man Rodriguez's screensaver, apparently.
Yeah, because we had Wendy on, and like, he was talking and saying nothing important, and then he lost his audio, so we lost all that non-important stuff, which is good. But it's also kind of weird when you have those weird empty spaces, so we couldn't really publish the episode.
Yeah, it would have just been like us talking, and then a couple seconds of silence, and then us talking.
Right, which is really how the old RFNs used to be.
But we did have the whole first segment before
we
he
did,
joined, so
but
I mean,
it was,
or
it
is
was
that
going to
come
10,
out at some point?
I don't know, maybe in like the best of.
Or like a Lost in the Vault episode.
Exactly.
I don't really remember what
Trapped
we talked about.
Trapped in the closet.
Neither do I, probably nothing important, but
yeah,
whatever.
It probably was really good.
It was probably so awesome, I just can't remember.
I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is finally episode 80 of Radio Free Nintendo. It's really like 82, but shh. Yeah. So let's get started with some new business. And Johnny, what's new and what's business?
Ooh, okay. So I've been playing Trauma Center New Blood. Got that for review, and it's good stuff. It's pretty much exactly the same as the last one.
That's right. You talked about this last week, but
oh,
yeah.
Was this one of the things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I have played it more. The only thing I would say over what I said last week, which the people listening will never hear, is that this happened to me a couple times in the last game also, but I got to a mission where for some reason I kept failing. It's like fairly typical procedures that I know how to do, but there's a lot of them, you have to do them really fast or whatever, but I'm doing them and I seem to be managing the situation pretty well, and then suddenly the guy dies. Like, all of a sudden, his vitality goes from 30 to 0, and it's over. And I'm like, what did I do wrong? And it seems like there must be something on a different part of his body that I didn't see before, and I need to take care of that first, or I'm doing things in the wrong order, or I'm doing one of these procedures wrong. And so I did it over and over and over again, failing over and over, and trying to figure out what I needed to do differently. And I couldn't figure it out. And so then this weekend I was showing it to my friend Kevin because he has the game also. And I was like, let's do this one co-op to help me get through it. But we couldn't get the remotes to sync up right because we were trying to use one of his remotes with my Wii. And it was a complete mess. By the way, the wireless stuff in the Wii blows. Have you guys ever had this problem? Like if your remotes ever get unsynced, it's such a pain in the ass to read.
Yeah,
them.
Syncing them is like, it's really, once they're synced, they're good, but syncing them up is like a really, it's needlessly complex because I feel like I should just press one button and press the other like I do at the Xbox. I press the button on the system and the button on the controller, and 4 seconds later, everything's working.
That's how it
so
works.
Well, that's how it's supposed
to
work. That's how it's supposed to work on the Wii, but I find that like I need to hit these buttons like 7 or 8 times before it works.
Well, the thing is like,
that's what I found also.
For the longest time, I didn't realize that like, you couldn't have the Wii in like standby mode in sync.
Right. Oh, yeah, that makes sense though.
Yeah, like it just didn't register, and then, but since I realized that you have to have it like actually, you know.
But
on,
have you
on,
ever had to resync your remote?
Yeah, and it I've
what
never
do
had
you
to. I you press the remote sync button, and then the console.
You press
sync
the
button.
Remote first.
I think so. Yeah, and,
and then nowhere is this written down.
It
either.
Is. It is. It's
is
in the
it?
Manual. It's in the manual.
Because I looked, and it just seems to say press the buttons, but it doesn't say.
Yeah,
what order.
You press the remote sync first, and you press the console sync, and then it just.
Do you have to hold one of them down?
No. You just press one, and then you press the other.
Anyway, my point is, we shouldn't be having this conversation. Because the Wii is supposed to be something that anyone can use, and it's very simple. It's really complicated to set up.
The wireless technology in the Wii is god-awful.
Yeah, it really pisses me off. I mean, it's pretty solid once you get it working, but
yeah,
it's,
once
really,
it's, working,
it's really hard to set
up. I think what
up.
Might be the issue is that if you've got a lot of other things on the 2.4 gigahertz spectrum in your apartment, like I know I do, I've got a router, and I've got these Xbox controllers, and I've got all this other stuff, I think that might be causing some interference.
Yeah, well, this was in a hotel, so maybe there were some things, I don't know. But anyway, to get back to the game, since we couldn't get more than one remote synced with the console, we had 4, by the way. We could only get one synced with the console at a time. Sometimes we could sync another one, but then the first one would get unsynced.
What?
I was so frustrated. Anyway, moving on. I was like, okay, just watch me play this and try to figure out what I'm doing wrong. Because he's good at the game. I mean, he's as good as I am. So I figured maybe he'll see something that I'm missing. And so I have like four or five people sitting around watching me do this surgery, and I fly through it with no problem and beat it.
That's how it always happens.
Well, but the problem is, I don't know what I was doing wrong, so I'm afraid it's going to happen in the next couple missions. The same thing's going
to
happen. It's like,
I haven't learned
anything from my failure. I failed miserably over and over, and then passed, but there's no satisfaction in passing it, because I don't know what I did differently.
This is funny. There's something to be said for like having good luck friends around, because I was having the hardest time beating Flirtin' with Disaster on Rock Band on Expert Guitar, and also Aerosmith's Train Kept a Rollin'. Carl comes over, and I beat them both on the first try.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have a similar story then, because I had some people over Friday night. It was a Russian drinking club party. I never actually met any of these people. I knew them from online, and so they came over, and we're all drinking fairly heavily. And one of them's like, oh, can I play this guitar game? And so, of course, anytime I have people over, Guitar Hero 3 will get played.
Sure.
And I think at this point I've played it and watched it more than I have Mario.
Which used to be your go-to party game.
Well, yeah, because like when my sister and her fiancé came over for Thanksgiving, they played it for 8 hours a day. Wow. I mean, everybody wants to play Guitar Hero no matter what. So anyway, we busted it out, and they're playing stuff on easy. I think one guy could hold his own on medium or something, like he'd played it before. And then I'm like, okay, my turn. And so I'm playing something on hard. I don't remember what it was, one of the later, like Black Magic Woman or something. And like, I'm two sheets to the wind at least, maybe two and a half. And I killed that song. Like, I was passing parts of the song that I normally always miss a note on.
You get in the zone, don't you? And you're just like, your fingers move, and you don't even know what they're doing, but you know they're interpreting what's on the screen without going through your brain.
I think the game is bypassing my brain, because my brain is a little bit, it's too slow to keep up, and so it doesn't even try.
And your fingers are somehow reading the notes for you. It's pretty, I've had that happen in Guitar Hero, and it's like,
yeah,
you're
it's
like,
kind
what
of
the fuck did I
need? Out in Tetris, except chemically induced.
But then the problem is, the second you realize that you are totally in the zone, you tank.
I don't know. It didn't happen for me. Maybe I was just too drunk for me to realize until.
Yeah, that's what happens to me. I'll be like, I'm playing something in Guitar Hero, and all of a sudden I nail this like stream of notes that I always, always, always miss all of them on, and I'll just be like, how the hell did I do that? And then it'll happen again, and I'll totally miss them all.
Yeah, hypothetically, the same thing happens to me.
Yeah, except you said that easy.
Hypothetically.
The only other game I've been playing really this week is just today. I got My Word Coach for DS. And I actually requested this, and I was looking forward to it, because I like the brain training, you know, I like the non-games, and that's pretty much what it is. It's brain training for your vocabulary, and it has a little different presentation than brain training, which is nice. It's a nice presentation. It has really very catchy, nice music.
But it doesn't have a giant floating head. I mean,
no, but it has these like four different cartoon-looking characters who are your coaches, and you can pick which one you prefer. I can't really tell that there's a difference among them. But I've only played for like 15 minutes, which is about it's about the amount that you're expected to play per day. And already, within the very first session of me playing it, I could tell that it was adjusting the difficulty for me. And that's kind of the hook of this game, is that it's supposed to find how good you are at vocabulary and then basically self-adjust after that.
That's pretty cool.
Which is significantly different than the way Brain Age does it, which is you just do stuff over and over and you kind of get better until eventually you master it and you can't really get any better at that point. So this game, it has like 12,000 different vocabulary words in it, so you're never going to see them all, pretty much guaranteed you'll never see them all. And what I noticed is that even after 10 or 15 minutes of playing, that the words were getting significantly more difficult than they were at the beginning, and they're already kind of getting near my limit of understanding. Like, it's kind of reaching my level of vocabulary already. And so then once it hones in on that, and it does all of this very, very much invisibly in the background, you know. But once it hones in on that, I think the idea is that it'll kind of stay there until you start to improve and learn more words, and then it'll slowly bump up, and so you can eventually increase your vocabulary level. It's pretty cool, and the interface is good. There's some good little games. Like, one of the games that I've opened up is like Tetris, but all of the, well, it's more like Meteos, I guess, than Tetris, because it's just single blocks, and every block has a letter, and you're supposed to click on letters to spell a word, and then once you do, all those letters disappear.
Ooh, sort
and
of like
if you stack up too high, then the game's over.
Sort of like Bookworm?
Yeah, I guess so, kind of. I don't remember exactly how Bookworm works, but it's similar to that, and it's really good. So I'm starting to think they also have versions for teaching you Spanish and French.
Well, that's pretty cool.
That's very cool to me, because I'm thinking, you know what? I studied French in high school. I've forgotten almost everything about it, but I did really enjoy studying it in high school. And I'm not the kind of guy who can teach himself a language out of a book, because I get bored very easily. But if I had a good video game that was legitimately fun to play and addictive and could actually teach me a few things about French, I would love to go back and
Does it teach you, like,
French
phrases, though, or would you just learn a whole bunch of French words and not how to string them together?
Okay, well, my word coach is strictly a vocabulary builder,
right.
But apparently the Spanish and French versions have interactive lessons, and you can use the microphone to actually practice your pronunciation, and it'll, like, judge your pronunciation of these things.
That's actually really impressive.
Yeah, and it also has, like, a travel guide where it'll teach you useful phrases depending
right.
on the situation and
my,
stuff like that.
My parents went to Italy a couple months ago and are... Yeah, a couple months ago. No, about a year ago, actually. And before they went, my dad bought... there's this very popular language software called Rosetta Stone.
Yeah.
And it's like the number one way to learn a language on the computer kind of thing. And
very
he bought that.
Expensive.
Yeah, and it's really
hundreds
expensive.
Hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, just for one language, you're paying like $200 or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, it taught him, and what it did, you know, you would say stuff and it would analyze your voice into a headset, you know, say stuff into a headset and it would analyze your voice and it would teach you things. And that sounds very similar to this, only at a fraction of the cost.
Yeah, I'm sure this is less sophisticated,
sure, it's
but it's
yeah,
also
obviously.
A tenth of the cost. So,
and you can carry it with you if you go to the other country and you're like, how the hell do I say where's the bathroom? You can look it up.
That's right. You can pull a DS out of your pocket, whereas with the other, you'd have to have it on your laptop or something.
Yeah,
so,
and that's, no one's going to carry their laptop.
Yeah, so we are getting copies of those from Ubisoft, and I don't know if I'll be reviewing them, but we'll get somebody on it. I'm very curious about this software now, because unlike, say, Brain Age is sort of... I don't know. I'm very dubious as to whether Brain Age actually makes you smarter or makes you faster at thinking or whatever.
Well, as someone who reviewed...
I think it just teaches you to play
yeah.
those games. I've played Brain Age 2 extensively, and I just think it kind of trains you to play those particular little games.
I would say that with the first Brain Age, I think I put way more time into than Brain Age 2 because Nintendo was like... They had the foresight to actually send it early.
Yeah.
Whereas with Brain Age, they're like, no, I'm going to send this 2 years before it comes out. Let's see what Carl thinks.
But yeah, like, Brain Age, they sent it way early, so you can play it for like a whole month.
Yeah,
and really
I played it for like a good 2.5 months before it actually came out.
Yeah.
So like I had a really, really good foundation for how the game was supposed to work. And I found myself being a little quicker with things that were related to the... Not necessarily just the activities themselves, but things that were like related to the activities. Like, I found
like
myself...
balancing your checkbook or something, maybe?
No, like, I read a little bit faster. Because part of it is reading something aloud.
Right.
So I found myself reading a little bit faster and, like, you know, being able to speed read a little bit more effectively, just for example. And, you know, I think that things that are analogs to those activities in the games, you can improve yourself in, but not... You can't really become smart, quote-unquote, by playing Brain Age.
Yeah, it would just increase your... You know, certain areas, like it's designed to like what increase like certain areas of your brain.
Right.
Like,
it increases your aptitude for certain activities.
Like practicing for like, you know, it's like practicing for the SATs. When you take the SAT, you'll be really good at analogies, even though they're not on the SAT anymore.
Really? No, they were there when I took it.
Maybe you had the
okay.
last. No,
which
know.
Was 2 years ago. I don't know, whatever. Anyway.
Anyway, my point is I actually really like Brain Age. But I just don't think it's all that practical. I kind of play it more like a traditional game.
Yeah, same
I just
here.
Like to get high scores on it, you know? whereas I'm very attracted by the practicality of a software, a game for DS that costs $30 and potentially can teach me the basics of a foreign language that I didn't know before. Sure. Or can help me move from a basic level up to an intermediate level or something. So I haven't played these games. I don't know if they can really do that, but the possibility of it is pretty exciting for me. So cool. I'm down with that. And I think it's interesting that these things are finally coming out in America, because when you talk about brain training games over in Japan, a very large percentage of them are language. They have tons of English training games and stuff like that, and Chinese and stuff like that. And we haven't really seen that in America. Some of the brain training stuff has come over mainly from Nintendo, but not very much from third parties and not any of the languages. So I think it's cool that that's finally happening like 2 years later.
You know, I think it looks really interesting, but I would never pick it up because I wouldn't pay $30 for it. But I keep seeing the box in the stores is Nintendo's Master of Illusion game that teaches you magic tricks. But the box is super thick, which means it comes with stuff to like do magic tricks.
It comes with a deck of cards.
Is it just the deck of cards? That's it? Oh, I don't really care as much then. But I was just like, the box is so tempting looking. Like, I should buy this and learn magic and then impress people at parties.
Yeah, it doesn't have a rabbit in it.
Well, no, but I thought, you know, I guess all the other kinds of stuff it would have would be like chintzy, like those little, like, you know, interlocking rings and stuff like everyone knows about already. So, card tricks.
Dude, don't knock the rings.
If it can teach you some pretty advanced card tricks, I think I might be interested in it just as a means, like, you know, because it's just a good icebreaker magic tricks, I think. I think that would be interesting to play.
It's a good icebreaker if you want people to be introduced to you as a giant nerd.
Yeah. I guess.
It's like going up to a random person saying, hey, did you play that new Metroid game? I mean, it might break the ice, but is that necessarily the very first topic that you want to
talk
about?
I think a card trick could be used more effectively than Gandalf, but you know.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe.
Know.
I don't know.
Going up to a chick and be like, hey, guess what? I do magic is not really the best way to get her attention, I suppose.
I mean, no.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not impressed with girls who are impressed with card tricks.
Fair enough.
But actually, I heard, and Aaron Kaluska is reviewing Master of Illusion right now, and I don't know what he thinks of it so far, but I read on Gaff somewhere that it kind of, the tricks that it teaches you, you have to have a DS to do them.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
fuck that.
That's kind of stupid.
Yeah. They're all built around the
now, table. Now, definitely, if you walk up to some girl and you're like, hey, check out my card trick and my Nintendo DS, that is definitely not going to work.
It's over.
Though I did,
touching is good.
As an anecdote, I did while walking into going to a bar the other week, pretty popular bar here in Tallahassee. I won't name it by name, but the girl,
someone's gonna fucking stalk you.
I guess the girl at the very attractive girl minding the door was playing New Super Mario Brothers on a DS as I walked up to show her my ID.
Did you talk to her?
I did, but apparently, you know, she was very involved in New Super Mario Brothers and not so much in my birthday.
Yeah.
You should have busted out your own DS and said, hey, let's play the wireless mode.
I didn't have it with me.
Yeah.
Because I was going out to drink for my birthday.
Actually, the wireless mode in New Super Mario Brothers is really fun.
Yeah.
It gets old after half an hour or so. I mean, it's not something you could play for any length of time, but it's really,
really
fun.
Wait, Johnny, would
it
be a good icebreaker?
I don't know. It's very aggressive. It's very backstabbing.
I mean, I think I remember playing it with Dan Dormer a couple times when we lived together, and it was pretty.
It's really funny.
Yeah. So, Mike, do you have any new business that isn't Rock Band?
I finally reviewed Thrillville Off the Rails, which is now up on the site. Now, this isn't like up on the site like Carl says it's up on the site,
and
it's not.
Yeah, you know what?
It's actually there.
You know what, dude? I'm calling you out because, all right, you have a job.
I'm two games behind.
A quote unquote job. All right, but I have finals this week. I'm fucking busy.
Yeah, but at the same time, you are like a month behind on your reviews, and I'm not.
Whatever.
And I have a job.
Mike,
I'm
have like two other reviews that you're working on right now?
I'm closing in on a month, yes. But I'm not, I'm not
yeah.
out of a month. I've
you
got
know what?
Life.
You know what? Dewey's Adventure is still in the fucking shrink wrap.
Yeah, it is. Dewey's Adventure is on the shrink wrap. I have not had a chance to open it yet.
Oh, man. Well, what's the other one that you're doing?
Force Life.
Force Life.
Oh, yeah. Have you sent back that ROM yet? I'm sure they're freaking waiting for it.
No, it's in the mail. It's in the mail.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
But anyways, Thrillville was, well, not good. It's
Is there
it's
anything interesting to say about it?
No, but I will summarize it quickly. It is a mini game fest disguised as a theme park simulation game.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
I think we actually talked about Thrillville, like, when Evan was on the show. Like,
maybe. I just love that there's a big, like, big freaking... It's not a sticker, because it's, like, actually on the art itself, but it looks like a sticker that says, sequel to the number one original family game of 2006, based... And then the back says, based on 2006 NPD sales. But I just want to wonder, like, how is this the number one, like... How is this a number one game? It sucks. Like, and I don't understand how... You could call something a family game and you should just be calling it a children's game because no one over the age of 10, which is a majority of people in most families, will enjoy this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, couldn't you call, like, New Super Mario Brothers came out last
year.
I guarantee it sold more than Thrillville. And that is a family game as much as Thrillville is.
That's, yeah, there's some arbitrary... Well, obviously, LucasArts was the one just going through the list of NPD games and deciding what's a family game. And obviously, it was Thrillville is a family game and nothing else is.
And everything else is not. Yeah, exactly.
Everything else is...
I mean,
is
it sounds like they really spliced up the numbers in some arcane way to come up with this claim.
Yeah, like, sure. What makes Thrillville a family game and New Super Mario Brothers not?
Hey, how about Wii Sports?
Yeah,
that's the ultimate family game, and it sold like 3 million copies in last year.
Yeah, there's.
I guarantee Thrillville didn't sell that many.
Wii Play. I mean, you know, that sells gangbusters.
Yeah, Wii Play came out in January though.
Yeah, oh yeah,
or February.
It's just some arbitrary distinction, like, and it's not for families. It's for friggin' children. Anyway, don't play it. Go play it. Go. Boot your system into, like, Windows 98 compatibility mode and play Roller Coaster Tycoon. Because you'll have way more fun.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
All right, well, as for my new business, like I said, I'm in finals week this week. I played some Super Mario Galaxy, but I really have nothing to speak of. So...
Oh, wait, and I am one song away from beating Rock Band to Guitar
not,
Expert.
We're not talking about Rock Band.
One song. I just wanted to say, Green Grass and High Tides, you will be mine.
All right.
Are there any good songs on Rock Band? Because people keep talking about
songs.
These songs that I've never heard of and or I hate.
Well, Greengrass and High Tides is the final song.
It's
and
a good song.
It's very Freebird-esque. It's like 13 minutes long, and it's a lot of like guitar noodling and southern rock
what
shit.
What band is it?
The Outlaws.
I've never heard of them.
They're okay.
I've never heard of them. All I know is that the song is like destroying me right now.
Johnny, they have there's Boston in there, Foreplay, Long Time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
And those four Police songs if you get the download pack, which is awesome.
Yeah, I do like the Police. I was listening to the Police. I was skiing all weekend, and at one point I sat down for a while to rest, and they were playing like the Police are Greatest Hits or something, and I'm thinking, okay, they've got a song about stalking. They've got a song about committing suicide because your girlfriend left you.
Uh-huh.
They have a song about staring at a girl, and they have a song about being stranded on an island and writing a letter and no one gets it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and they also have a song about a whore.
Oh, that's right, about prostitution. Yeah.
She doesn't have a
song
on a red light.
That's family-friendly entertainment for you right there.
I always knew I liked the Police, but until Rock Band, I never like really super got into them. But now I've got like the whole box set, and it's like, holy crap, the Police are awesome.
Well, check this out. I saw the Police. By the way, I love the Police. I'm just saying, if you really sit down and look at the topics of their songs, it's a little disturbing.
They're disturbing.
But I saw the Police at Bonnaroo, and my old friend Taylor Hill and I, you guys remember Taylor from Radio Trivia a long time ago, but he and I decided that we were going to do the Roxanne drinking game live. And
what
so
is that?
It's where you drink every time they say Roxanne. It's a well-known drinking game. And so we went down to the bar and under the stadium seats, and we bought like three draft beers each. And we tried to follow up, and about halfway through the song, I looked over him and said, dude, I'm about to throw up. I'm quitting right now. And he's like, agreed.
Wow.
It was so brutal because they jammed that song out a little bit, and so it was a little bit longer than normal anyway. And he was saying it so fast that I couldn't swallow before the next time that he said it.
And
so I was like keeping a backlog in my mind of how many drinks I had to do to catch up.
Mind you, this is like a 3.5 minute song maybe, and he's like, he says Roxanne.
He says it
about,
like 50 times.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's a game that no one actually finishes, but we just thought it would be hilarious to do it live. And the people around us were, like, cheering for us, and it was such a disaster.
A beautiful disaster.
Well, let's go ahead and move on to listener mail. And our buddy Ryan sent us a very, very, very long email about what his ideas for Metroid 5. I skimmed it. but John, these are resident Metroid experts, or I'm going to let him take care of this one.
Yeah, I actually skipped through most of it because about 60% of it is fan fiction.
Samus and Ridley, get together,
I was really worried that there was like a point in this thing when I was reading it where a Metroid was going to come out and like rape Samus or something, and I was like, I don't know if I should continue.
Okay, let me read a quote from this email. She whispers under her breath.
Oh,
that's all you need right there. I mean, yeah, I don't even
that's,
know.
That's all you need. That's the subtitle of the game. It's Metroid 5. She whispers under her breath.
Anyway,
the gist of his email, aside from all the kind of disturbing fan fiction stuff, is that his idea is that to kind of invert the traditional Metroid formula of Samus going to a planet and kind of exploring it from the top down. The idea here is that Samus would basically be captured by space pirates or something, and she would have to dig herself out of a prison and escape from the planet. And so it would be somewhat similar in a gameplay sense in that she would start out without her powers, without her suit or whatever, and she would have to sneak around a little bit and eventually find her powers or find new powers scattered around the prison and I guess make do with what she can find. And the other mechanic that he mentioned that I thought was sort of interesting is that you'd have the option to turn off her power suit at certain times so that you can be sneakier and sneak by places.
It's not a bad idea, in all honesty.
I think it's a pretty cool idea because if you think about like the stealth parts in Zero Mission, they're actually pretty good and they're very stressful. They're like really tense
and they're
pretty good, and it's interesting to in a series, and I think especially towards the end of the game, in Zero Mission, one of the problems of the Metroid series overall is that Samus becomes so powerful by the end of the game that it gets really easy and you're not really afraid of anything, especially normal enemies.
Yeah, like Ridley.
And so what they did in Zero Mission
Ridley.
Is they make you super weak and vulnerable towards the end of the game, and it really messes with you a little bit.
Yeah, that's like when you go in to fight Ridley in Metroid Zero Mission, it's just essentially you stand there and fire super missiles until he dies because you can suck up so much damage at that point, it doesn't even matter if he attacks you.
Yeah, and as far as normal enemies go, you can just jump into them.
Yeah.
You can ignore their shots. You're invincible to them, their shots, the lava, the spikes, blah, 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 blah. You can just fly all over the place and kill everything you touch. And so I think it's cool that if the idea of the game structure giving you certain areas where it's more advantageous for you to turn off all your powers and go through as vulnerable, because that's the more strategic thing to do, and there's an advantage
to
doing
that. Be hard.
And it makes sense that you're sneakier when you don't have the suit on.
I think that would be hard to pull off, because at which point would you not want to be the badass who can just power through everything and kill everything in one shot?
Well, if the enemy that you're up against is even more badass than you.
I guess. Like something
and
like,
it's better to
something
just sneak
like
by.
Like the SAX in Metroid Fusion.
Exactly.
Where you essentially
that's
just
exactly
run away for like
about.
80% of the game.
Right. Scares the crap out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's a pretty cool idea, actually. So it would be kind of like an Alien 3 kind of a deal where, you know, she's in this prison and she's trying to escape.
Sure.
I think it's a cool idea. So anyway, that's that.
So, Ryan, even though your fanfiction is disturbing, we think you have cool ideas for gameplay.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, and we're going to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we're talking about the news, so stay tuned. Alrighty, folks, and we're back for VC Monday's first up, Pokemon Snap on the
Woo!
N64.
Johnny's excited.
Yeah,
I've already downloaded it and played it. It's great.
I don't know if I want to pay $10 for it.
That's kind of the problem. It's that's really the only knock you can have against the game. It's the only knock that anyone ever had against the game is that it's too short.
Yeah, I would pay $5 for this in a heartbeat.
Well, certainly $10 is better than $50 or $60, which is what it cost when it first came out.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think it's still just as much fun as when it first came out. So I am recommending it for everyone. I think it's worth $10, but it is sort of on the line. It's cutting it a little close. But for me, Pokemon Snap takes about 5 hours to play through probably. And for me, a virtual console game, that's perfect, because if a game takes longer than that, I'm not going to finish it on virtual console.
Dude, $10 for five hours? That doesn't sound that bad.
I guess.
It's not that bad. And
I mean, Gears of War charges you like $60 for 8 hours, so...
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that bad. And And like I said, for me, I already have so many virtual console games that I haven't finished, and Wii games that I haven't finished, and PC games that I haven't finished, that if a virtual console game takes more than 5 hours, no matter how much I like it, I'm not going to finish it.
Right.
So,
totally.
So I think it's a good, reasonable length. It's short enough that you will play through the entire thing.
I didn't even finish Sin and Punishment. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I've beaten it before. Well, I haven't beaten it. I've gotten to like the last level before. But,
I've gotten to the level where you're flying all around the Navy ships and shooting things.
Yeah, that's my
favorite. Which is really cool. It's really super awesome.
Well, I think I'm probably gonna end up catching back up on a lot of virtual console games that I've already downloaded. Maybe like around February or February is when Smash Brothers comes out, but if it gets delayed, or maybe like in next summer when it kind of we get into this summer crap fest, you know.
Right.
But
and we start caring about virtual console games again.
Anyway, the only other thing to say about Pokemon Snap is that they added this feature where you can go. It's funny because there are a lot of different places in the game where you can go look at your pictures. And some of them are sort of redundant, but there's a feature right on the title screen called Gallery, and you have to back all the way back out to the main title screen to get to it. And this is where you set up your set of four pictures that you take to Blockbuster to print out on your little stickers or whatever back in 1999. But if you go to that mode and then enlarge a picture and then press the minus button on the controller, even though it doesn't say anything about that on the screen, then you can send a photo to your message board. So my point of saying all this is that it's really picky about where you can use this new feature that they just added.
That's in the
operations guide.
Manual.
But yeah, you have operations to look, guide. You have to find out, you have to do a little research to figure out how to use this feature. It's not obvious at all.
Sure.
But yeah, anyway, you can send one photo per day. I don't know why they have that cap on it. But you can send one photo per day to your message board, and then you can send that to however many people you want to, one at a time. And it's a neat feature, but it's just not that useful, and you're probably going to use it once just to see that it works. But the cool thing is the potential for further use of this in other games, obviously.
Right.
Well, the thing is now, I think I said this last week when our audio got destroyed, but now Nintendo has shown people that these games can connect into the Wii's infrastructure, so now they have no excuse when they obviously should and don't.
Yeah. That doesn't mean they're not going to do it anyway.
No, I know.
By the way, they're not charging extra for this.
I believe my quote last week that got lost in the abyss was that, Carl, you just said that. I said they have no excuse now, but that doesn't mean you'll do it. And I said, yes, they'll probably just make up some ridiculous analogy about refrigerators.
Of course.
Exactly.
You gotta take some things out to put some things in.
Yeah, so we're putting in online play in GoldenEye, but we're taking out all but one gun.
Yeah. Johnny, you can only put, this is like with the Pokemon thing, you can only put one magnet on the fridge every day because it just takes too much effort. You know, why would you want more than one magnet a day, you know?
Of course.
Yeah, I guess that's a good metaphor for
it. It's a good bad metaphor because it makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Because putting pictures on your Wii message board is sort of like putting magnets on your refrigerator, in that it's equally useless.
Yeah. No, that's not true. Magnets can hold things up.
And they help your child's self-esteem.
Yeah, but you can't send magnets to people, to your friends across the world.
Whatever. This is retarded. Let's just move on. Ghosts and Goblins on the NES. Too hard. Don't play it. Blah, blah, blah.
Unless you're like some sort of video game masochist.
Unless you are like a savant. Then
well,
the thing is,
there are lots of video game masochists, and they will love this game. But if you're a normal person, check your pulse. If your pulse is between 60 and 100 right now, don't download Ghosts and Goblins.
our new news editor, Carmine Red, aka Chiron on the forums, will probably really like this.
He's not the news editor. He's a news writer.
He's a news whatever. Dude.
Don't promote him on the air.
Yeah,
okay. We have no real power here anyway.
I have no
He's
real
brand
power.
Brand new. That's true.
Exactly. All right, and last up, Baseball Stars 2 on the Neo Geo, which is our weekly game that we've never heard of and don't care to know about.
Yeah.
Actually, I've heard that Baseball Stars is a good series. I've never played it because I there's nothing I could care less about than baseball video games. But
yeah.
I've heard that it's actually a good baseball game.
It's actually a fighting game, actually. So
maybe maybe this is the first good Neo Geo game on Virtual Console.
Doubtful.
I kind of doubt that. but it has potential. We'll have to see.
Well,
I ain't playing it, that's for sure.
I'm looking at it on Wikipedia, and the graphics look all right.
Well,
it
looks like a Neo Geo game.
Yeah, true. All right, anyway, so yeah, that kind of clears up for Virtual Console. The standout title this week is obviously Pokemon Snap. If you're going to get one title this week, get that.
Get that, it's good.
Moving on to the real news, if you're a big fan of Parappa the Rapper on the PS1 and its sequel Jammer Lammy, you'll be excited to know that the...
Jammer.
Huh?
Jammer Lammy.
I call it Jammer Lammy.
Have you played it, Obi?
No, I think
then
once.
How do you
yes,
know?
Once. No, I did play it once.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty,
and I remember the commercial very well.
I'm pretty sure it's Jammer Lammy.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah, by the way, let me throw this out here. I don't think Parappa's that good.
No, I don't either. I mean, it's interesting and it's kind of quirky, but it's not that
great.
It has
good art, but like the music is really terrible and the gameplay blows.
Well, if you don't agree with Johnny, then you'll be excited to know that Masaya Matsuura and the artist Rodney Allen Greenblatt are hard at work with Majesco to put out a Wii-exclusive game. Not necessarily
music
a Parappa the Rapper.
It's a music game.
It's a music game. Not exactly a sequel to Parappa the Rapper or Jammer Lammy, but perhaps something.
This is an interesting Parappa side note. This is actually probably kind of disgusting, but there was this one thread on a forum that I visit that this was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, right around a little after the time Parappa came out and got huge, was let's make terrible fan fiction. And somebody wrote this really ridiculously long, intricate Parappa the Rapper fan fiction. And, you know, of course the characters all have sex with each other, but there were some
escaping from penal colonies?
But there were some great parts because the Master Onion guy taught Parappa how to have sex, but he did it in a rap, and it was it was hilarious.
That's how I learned. By the way, we skipped over this, but as of this week, you'll be able to gift people Virtual Console games.
Oh, yes.
So
yes, we didn't bring that
if
up.
You can't afford Pokemon Snap because you've been buying all these other games and say you're a college student, then you could ask your parents to buy it on their Wii and send it to you on your Wii at college.
I'm sorry. I just Googled Parappa fanfiction.
Did it come up?
I don't know, but the second one in is called I Gotta Conceive, and I think this is the one actually. The subtitle reads: Parappa learns Sunny is pregnant with his baby. He figures if Joe Chin learns this, Parappa is a dead man. He would be right.
Oh my god. Okay.
We gotta move on. We gotta move on.
Yeah, please, please.
Alright, Manhunt 2. They put forward an appeal in the UK to see if they could get the game released. Rockstar had a case against the British Board of Film Classification and won, so the game is going to be resubmitted to see if they can get it released in the UK. Keep in mind that they actually submitted the game twice to the British Board of Film Classification. Once in the American version, which you can buy here, and they actually toned it down more. And
oh,
that,
really?
I thought
the first submission was kind of the one that they sent to ESRB.
No,
with
It was the American version, and then that version was deemed too graphic, and then they resubmitted it again with even less gore, and even that one was too graphic.
Ah.
So I don't know which one they're trying to get put out now, but it's going to be resubmitted to another board, and hopefully, you'll be able to play it soon if you live in the UK.
Well, we should say
or
this is no guarantee
not.
That
no,
it's
no.
that it's actually going to come out in the UK. It just
it's,
means
it's
that
not.
It's got a chance. It's kind of a retrial.
And even then, it's not that great a game, so if you don't get it, don't feel too bad, Europeans.
It's going to be funny when they go through all this and then it sells 1,000 copies.
Exactly.
Yeah. But hey, you know what? It's better than not selling any copies for them.
Sure. And
I guess. I mean, the UK, love them to death, but it's not even that big of a country. And how many of them are really going to buy Manhunt 2? You know, this isn't like if you talk about Europe as a whole, it is a big region. It's not as big as the U.S. or Japan, but it's a significant region. But the U.K. alone, they're going through all this trouble just for one country. For instance, this game probably has no chance in hell of ever coming out in Germany, which is just as big of a country as England.
Yeah, well, yeah, true.
But it just seems like a whole lot of effort to get it at, put out in one country where it's probably not going to sell very well.
Well, in other censorship news, No More Heroes in Europe is going to have the same cut that it has in Japan, where there isn't going to be very much blood. So
it's just like dark pixels, isn't it?
Yeah, like black dust shoots out and coins, actually.
It's actually not blood, it's pus. In Japan, it's pus.
It's pus. But yeah, like basically like black dust shoots out of their legs, and you also get coins. Teaching children that if you cut people down, you get rich.
Yeah, good point.
Well, the reason I said pus is because in Trauma Center New Blood, sometimes you have to drain not only blood, but pus from wounds.
Oh, that's gross.
But it's really not gross because it's just like a brown cloud.
Yeah.
People always ask me when I tell them that I have a surgery game for Wii, they're like, ooh, does it have like a lot of blood and stuff? And I'm like, well, it does have blood, but it's always in gaseous form.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that happens. Everyone has these like venting wounds in their bodies, but
right. But so No More Heroes also going to be edited down.
Oh, and
it
went on sale in Japan, right?
It did in fact go on sale in Japan, and
how well did it sell on
opening
day?
Well, okay, look, here's the thing. Goichi Yasuda and the game's producer went out in front of I think one of the big retailers in Akihabara. And they were there with Famitsu, and they were doing this huge photo shoot, and nobody came.
So what we're saying is that anyone
who's... So
this
was like a Blinks the Cat kind of a...
No one Reiki the Brinks.
Sorry. Was this the Xbox 360 guy? Were you standing there just looking at a giant stack of them?
I'm just saying, if people are interested in this game, you know, if anything is going to get anyone who's going to buy this game, well, I'm interested in this game, so I may as well go meet the guy who, you know, made it. And when I buy it, but
get it signed.
Yeah, but if no one's interested in doing that, I'm wondering if anyone even bought the game.
I think it's sold something like it's been out now for
which
like,
is crazy because this is a Wii game, by the way, and Japan loves the Wii.
Well, you know, I mean, it's tough. Okay, it's tough out there showcasing awesome games that maybe some people don't want to buy. It's hard. Yeah.
You know what's harder?
I'm really not surprised at all.
Good,
I think if people
no
won't buy Mario
buy
in Japan, they're not going to buy this.
Yeah, seriously. Super Mario Galaxy is having a tough time selling. Give No More Heroes a break.
I want their brain training, man.
Yeah, well, you know what
should have
say.
Been No More Heroes featuring brain training.
Yeah, okay.
I bet if they called it Hero Training.
Yeah.
Really, or Assassin Training, it would have sold a lot better.
I bet that's how they plan on selling Assassin's Creed.
Mm. Assassin's Creed actually charted very well. In its opening week.
Japan?
Yeah, it was like number 5, I think. On Xbox fucking 360.
Number 5 on Xbox 360 games or number 5 of all games?
Of all games on Xbox 360.
Wow.
Yeah.
In Japan?
In Japan.
I'm surprised.
So am I.
I'm surprised it's even
I guess they
already.
Really like Jade Raymond.
They really like Jade Raymond. But yeah, moving on to our second to last news story here. Treyarch is back at work on Call of Duty. So if you loved Call of Duty 3, they're going to put in another one.
But apparently...
And
didn't we all?
Apparently Call of Duty 4 is like the most amazing thing ever, and Infinity Ward did that.
Yeah, I think the way they're going to do it is it's going to be like Splinter Cell, where there are two teams that develop the game, and they just kind of switch off year after year.
So the game will only be truly great every other year?
Yes.
Exactly. I'm sure everyone who's playing Call of Duty 4 right now is thinking, God, I can't wait till next year when they go back to that shitty developer who did the one before.
Yeah.
Did
so
Treyarch
Call
do,
of Duty 3
did, Treyarch
did
do
not
Call
get good
wait,
reviews
did,
at all.
Did Treyarch do Call of Duty 3 or did they just do the console versions?
No, they did Call of Duty 3.
Infinity War did Call of Duty 1 and then 2, and then they took time off to work on the technology for 4.
Yeah.
And while they were doing that, Treyarch went ahead and put out Call of Duty 3 and kind of almost ruined the series name.
Yeah.
Because it's not like a travesty game, but it's like Call of Duty 2 with different levels.
Yeah. Treyarch also worked on, I think they worked on Big Red 1, which is one of
That's the console version.
Which is the console version of
That's a console
2.
Only.
It's a console, it's like a console, it was the console version that came out at the same time as 2. And then I think Spark was the one that worked on Finest Hour, but anyway, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, Finest Hour is a travesty. But
yeah, that's really, really bad.
But that game is so bad, there's a lawsuit involved with it right now.
Yes, isn't Spark like suing Activision or vice versa or something?
I think they're suing each other.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
Like, apparently Spark didn't get paid, or Activision didn't pay them, or I don't know, whatever. So that actually concludes this section of the news, but there's one more thing we want to mention before we go, and Johnny, what is that?
Oh yeah, I don't know if I ever got a chance to talk about the Pikmin 2 auction on the show, But
I don't think we have, actually.
Anyway, hopefully people read the site and they saw something about it, or they read Game Life and saw something about it there, or they read NeoGAF and they saw something about it there. But I tried to get it out to as many people as possible. But I had this Pikmin 2 stand display thing that Nintendo sent me back in like 2003, whenever that game came out, and it was signed by Miyamoto and Takashi Tezuka and Masamichi Abe and something Hino. I can't remember his first name. It's weird.
Yeah.
But it's autographed by all four of those guys. They're the two directors and the two producers of the game. And it's a really cool, like, 3D thing. And so anyway, I thought, after I did the whole interview with Mike Krahulik from Penny Arcade about Child's Play.
Pretty sure it's Kralik.
Yeah, screw you.
All right.
I know him.
Yeah, so but... Yeah, whatever.
But I don't need to know how to say his last name, because I call him by his first name.
Okay. Yo, you guys are on a first name basis.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, so I figured I don't need this thing. I don't, you know, I'm not even the hugest Pikmin fan or whatever. So, and I've met Miyamoto. I don't need his autograph. I've got his business card. So whatever.
Snap.
So anyway, I'm like, I'm gonna put this up on eBay and I'll just give the money to Child's Play. And so that's what I did. And I figured it could probably raise a lot of money, because it is a very cool little item and it's very rare and it's autographed by all these cool people, including Miyamoto. And so we put it up on eBay and it ended up raising $315 for
nice.
Child's Play.
Awesome. Wow.
So I'm very pleased with that result. And
anyway,
I just wanted to thank everyone.
It's no Desert Bus for
helped.
Hope, but you know, every little bit counts.
Say what?
It's no Desert Bus for Hope, but every little bit counts.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, Johnny,
well, it took much less effort than Desert Bus for Hope, and it didn't destroy my soul.
Now, Johnny, aren't you going to be at the Denver fundraiser?
That is correct. It'll probably be over by the time anyone hears this, but I am going to be at fundraiser in Denver. So, if you want to come and like totally accost me and wear your PGC T-shirt and scare the crap out of me in person, I will look forward to it. And I'm actually trying to do an interview about fundraisers so I can promote that on our site, but
sure.
I haven't heard back from the guy yet. So
get back to
well,
him.
Hopefully that'll happen.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Absolutely.
Anyway, looking forward to it, because I have yet to play Rock Band whatsoever. So I really want to. For me, it's worth it to go to drive down to Denver just to go play Rock Band.
It's just a belt, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we're gonna go ahead and take one more break. When we come back, we're talking about our feature, which is a game legislation questionnaire. So stay tuned.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And we're back for the feature. Common Sense Media, that's commonsensemedia.org, posed a questionnaire to...
Somehow, so I just want to say right now, I instantly believe after hearing that URL that this site actually has no common sense. And that they are faking it until they make it.
Okay. I don't know them. I don't know
anything. I don't either. I know. I will say, I know absolutely nothing about Common Sense Media, but I would say off my initial assumption is that they are probably some crazy fanatical organization that uses absolutely zero common sense in any thinking.
Well, they're on the internet.
Yeah, that doesn't help them.
So we're going to get an angry email for sure.
For sure.
Good.
Anyway, basically they posed
then a... we'll have listener mail for next week.
Yes, finally. All right, so they posed a questionnaire to various presidential candidates.
Looking forward to the John Edwards fan fiction where he's escaping from a penal colony.
poor John.
He has to take off his suit to sneak by the guards.
If you ask my friend Dan Dormer about John Edwards, he'll say one thing: very soft hands. That is a fact. If you ask him about John Edwards, he will mention how soft his hands are because he did manage to shake them.
All right.
Okay.
Did he have a bottle of Cuervo in hand?
He may have.
did Dan meet him in a penal colony?
They were escaping together.
And they were holding hands the whole time.
Of course.
Okay.
All right. So they basically, Common Sense Media posed this question. To date, nearly 10 states have considered legislation to keep violent video games out of kids' hands.
Nearly 10 states.
Nearly 10.
Like 7.
Yeah, and most of them are in the South.
Almost 10.
Yeah. Would you support this type of legislation at the federal level? What other strategies would you support to keep the video game industry and other media companies from marketing and selling inappropriate content to children? And the first three guys who they ask, which is John Edwards, Barack Obama, and Bill Richardson, all answered the question, I think, fairly safely, but still.
Well, they're all at least have multiple paragraphs
yes.
in their answers.
They answer the question like it's obvious that either they gave it thought or handed it off to an intern who gave it thought.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. I think you could probably summarize their three responses. They're not much different from each other.
Right.
And basically what all three of them say is that we should make information about game content more available to parents and allow them to make their own decisions. And we should encourage the industry through the ESRB to better enforce its own regulations and basically improve the rating system.
Right.
And then if that stuff doesn't work, and I'm not sure how they would quantify it working or not working, but if that stuff does not work, then they would consider resorting to federal legislation. And I wonder if these guys realize that every single one of the nearly 10 state legislation measures to regulate video game sales have been thrown out in court.
So yeah, basically they're all saying that, you know, we need to try these things before we get too hasty with these government regulations. And then we got a guy named Mitt Romney, who
also happens to be the only Republican who answered the question.
That's right.
True. Yes.
This is it's a pretty thin field here of people who answer. Only 4 people overall. I don't know why that is.
Right. And if you'll notice, the first three, their paragraphs are highlighted in blue, and then Mitt Romney gets a very shallow.
He also has a kind of crazy eye looking picture.
Yeah.
He's not even really smiling in that picture.
Looks like he's about to transform into
Mitt
a hunk.
Romney.
Hey, it's not a flattering photo.
With jokes like that, I could write for like The Daily Show, maybe.
Well, no one else is.
Mitt Romney.
Yeah, all you have to do is make bad voices.
There you go. But yeah, so this is what Mitt Romney said. It's a short enough answer that I think I can say the whole thing.
Yeah, just but do it in your best voice,
like the Hulk kind of.
Maybe you should do it then.
No, I can't. I'll laugh.
I want to restore values to children so that children are protected from societal cesspool of filth, pornography, violence, sex, and perversion. I promise that we enforce our obscenity laws again and that we get serious against these retailers who sell our adult video games that are filled with violence and that we go after those retailers.
Go after them.
Go, whatever, dude. When I do that voice, I can't.
No,
actually...
no, you said it right. I'm just saying.
All right, whatever.
So, just pointing out this phrase, go after them.
Go after them.
What does that mean? Go after them.
We're going to go get them, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So...
it's a little... I don't know. I guess we'd end up probably talking politics.
Mitt Romney wants to take away your video games and marry your wife.
Can I pretend to be...
Yeah, I'm not...
I'm
not arguing from a sense of, like, Republicans versus Democrats here. I'm arguing in the sense of Mitt Romney's answer versus these other guys' answers.
Yeah.
This is really bad. I mean, this is, like, so broad and... really terribly written. He's using phrases like restore values. Okay, that is so ambiguous and vacuous.
But you don't understand, the religious right loves those values.
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't mean anything, to restore values. That's just something that you say. You can't actually do that. You cannot restore values from the presidency. It doesn't work like
that. But
it
gets votes.
And then he's using a phrase like go after those retailers. I mean, what does that mean?
I don't know,
go
but I'm sure
them.
When I'm sure when
like
he's
we're gonna
finished,
spank them.
I'm sure
what
when
does
he's,
that mean?
I'm sure when he's finished, a banner will be hung.
Yeah, mission accomplished. Your games are all.
I was trying to make that joke more subtle, but you just came out and said it. But that was, you know, that's what I was going for.
For the people out there who don't get it right away, now they do. Now they feel like they're in the club.
Yeah, imagine a banner that says "Retailers gone after."
They'll do it on a naval ship.
Someone should do like my Pokemon. Let me show you them. To my retailers, let me go after them.
Yeah,
your retailers.
No, and I also like this phrase: enforce our obscenity laws again.
Yeah,
enforce our obscenity laws again. And by the way, regardless of what you think of the parties, the Republicans say therefore smaller government.
No.
Okay.
Only,
this is not
no.
smaller
this
government
is,
that he's
is,
talking
yeah.
about at all.
Therefore, the only one of any of these candidates, any of them, Democrat or Republican, that is actually for a smaller government is Ron Paul. But the problem is that he's kind of insane.
Yeah. Let's not talk about Ron
no.
Paul.
Right. He's kind
Can
of insane.
Not?
Yeah. He's a lot.
Yeah. He's not on this page. He didn't answer this question. So I'd rather not get into a discussion on Ron Paul.
His answer was probably more than 4 paragraphs.
Oh, I'm sure it was like more than 4 pages.
Yeah. But anyway,
so yeah.
I think it's really honestly, Romney's answer here is basically barbarianism compared to the other ones. I think he's really representing himself very poorly, or whoever wrote this for him is representing him very poorly compared to these other guys.
Right. But now, you know, at least he managed to go through the whole thing without mentioning 9/11.
yeah, thank God. Realistically though, where do you see this whole thing going as far as, you know, government legislation in video games? Do you really think it's going to happen, or do you think we're basically just going to be like it was with Mortal Kombat 2, where the ESRB is created and then they kind of just get off our backs for a while?
Well, and by the way, they should have included Hillary Clinton here, because I know she's got a lot to say on this topic.
Well, bring up
and
her friend,
she's
Jack
really
Thompson.
She's the most overbearing and authoritarian of probably any candidate running
the
for president right
she's
now.
She's the new Joe Lieberman
games.
When it comes to hating video games.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
she
really
is. She's very outspoken on... Basically, I think she would probably legislate first, ask questions later,
but
whereas the other three Democrats are saying, let's do that as a last resort. Her policy is basically, the ESRB is not working. We need a federal law saying that you cannot sell... mature, violent. No, they don't even say mature. They don't say like rated M, because that would be too quantifiable.
Yeah,
that's too easy to enforce. To say we're not going to sell rated M games, they want to say we won't sell violent video games, and that could there are rated E games with violence in
them.
So that becomes, at that point, the ESRB is basically taken out of the loop, and you have to create some kind of federal oversight committee or agency, God forbid, that will determine its own system of ratings.
The real problem with all of this is that it's not legal on a federal level. It's a Tenth Amendment issue.
It's kind of unconstitutional, is what it is.
It's unconstitutional on the grounds that, well, it sort of restricts free speech, but it's also unconstitutional on the grounds that it violates the Tenth Amendment, because this is a states' rights issue.
Yeah.
And the states won't.
And by the way,
it.
You can't enforce our obscenity laws again, because those are unconstitutional as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely, guys. Well, I think that about clears it up for this discussion.
There's nothing else to say about it.
I think we got this whole video game politics thing settled. I think we're done. I think we've done it.
Yeah. Problem solved.
VideoGamePolitics.com. What's the name of that? GamePolitics.com? Or what is it? The blog?
Yeah, there's a GamePolitics.com.
Yeah,
okay, shut down your site, guys. We've done it. We've solved the problem.
Well, you know, one thing that I find really interesting whenever this topic comes up is that, at least from what I hear, it seems like video game players, or at least hardcore video game players, but it seems like pretty much anyone who seriously plays video games is against federal regulation of video game
sales.
Sure,
yeah.
And that goes across party lines, across ideologies, across ages and sexes. I mean, I'm sure if you ask my parents, they would probably have some knee-jerk reaction. Oh, yeah, we should have the government involved in that or whatever, because they're not gamers. They haven't actually really thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people who play games avidly are pretty damn unified on this, and that's what surprises me when I hear a lot of people. I don't really hear anybody. So if you're out there and you are a hardcore gamer and you think the federal government should be regulating video game sales, let us know, because I don't think you exist. I haven't seen you exist yet.
Yeah, but
and that's my point. This is not really a partisan issue.
No, I don't think it is.
It's not partisan between parties. It is partisan between ways of thinking on the issue, but it really cuts across party lines. And when you hear about these big presentations that they do in the Senate, where they have four or five senators all getting together saying, well, the ESRB is not doing its job, we need to get the federal government involved, it's pretty much split down the line between Republicans and Democrats, and in this case, actually independents as well, with Joe Lieberman.
Right.
So,
well, and the issue is that it gets votes in the older demographic, because that's what they want. Of course, they are going to eventually – that is eventually not going to work, because the younger demographic, you know, the video game, the gaming,
yeah,
the gaming demographic is skewed much older now, and a lot of us have votes, but I don't think a lot of, though on the other level, I would hate to say that a gamer would vote and pick his candidate based solely on the issue of video games, because there are a million other important things to be thinking about.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's easy to say that all this other stuff is more important than video games, but...
Well, I wouldn't say...
If you consider this a free speech
issue... Yeah, this is a free speech
issue. And basically
a
civil rights issue, then...
It is rather
then
important.
This is not a litmus test, but it may be representative of the way the candidate approaches a lot of other stuff.
Yes.
Sure.
But so I think it is an important thing. If you care about games, actually if you care about free speech in any capacity, not just games, then this is something you should take into account. And what bothers me is the difference between what most of the candidates would say about, for instance, censoring or regulating book sales to minors or something like that, as opposed to what they say about video games. Because to me, that shows a cognitive disconnect and really a discrimination against one form of art as opposed to another.
Well, they all believe
that's,
in...
That's something that bothers me quite a
they
bit.
They all, but most of the, you know, all of them will agree with the MPAA.
Well, the MPAA, the not MPAA necessarily. The MPAA is run just the same way as the ESRB.
But they're saying that, you know, if the these people would say if the MPAA was not doing its job, then the federal government should step in. Of course, the MPAA is supposedly doing its job, probably about as well as the ESRB is, which is to say, no, I would honestly maybe on some level say the ESRB
is doing
ESRB
their job,
is, better
is,
job
is
than the
much
MPAA.
Better than the MPAA.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I really do.
Well, guys, before we get out of here, I got a little bit of an announcement to make. Actually, Mike and I both have an announcement to make. We're getting married!
First, we're moving to Vermont!
Yeah. But as soon as I said it, I was like, oh, shit. After working here at NintendoReport.com, PlanetGaming.com, for about 3 years now...
What is it, like 7 or 8 in my case...
Yeah, 6 or 7.
Yeah, 2001, I think.
So, yeah, after working here for, 3 and 6 years, Mike and I are both leaving NintendoReport.com.
Yeah, moving on, moseying out, saddling up.
And it's been a really cool ride. I've had an awesome time, especially with the podcast. This podcast really is my favorite part of the gig.
Oh, definitely. This is, of all the things... Excluding going to E3 and hanging out with everyone who has been, some of my closest friends, Johnny.
But this is the closest thing to E3.
Yeah, this is the closest thing. Well, the podcast
really
was born of E3, even. But after all those times, I'm moving on. I cannot say how grateful I've been to have this experience.
Absolutely,
like, it's been so amazing, and I can say it's genuinely contributed to me as a person and to my career, even. And it's just, it's been such a wonderful thing, but it's time for me to move on, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think both we don't want to say anything too soon, but we're both kind of looking at,
we're
some,
still going
to
be involved in the
video
internet,
game.
Internet game community.
Yeah, we'll still be around. I'm going to be freelancing for various people, so if you're looking around to see my writing stuff, it'll probably show up somewhere.
I'm not. I'm just gonna.
No,
I've got a job and a career now.
Yeah,
and I just don't have as much time. I really don't have as much time for this as I would wish, but I still want to stay involved in the gaming community, so I will still be continuing it as a,
right.
as a
so,
hobby.
So we probably will have some sort of radio
a
content.
A hobby as opposed to what you've been doing?
Well, it is a hobby, and I would like to continue it as a hobby, just in a smaller capacity.
Okay,
right.
Okay, right.
So, yeah, you will probably see radio content from us eventually, perhaps. This is not our last show, though. We are going to still finish out the year. But it is actually the last time we'll be recording RFN from the Tallahassee HQ.
Yeah.
Carl, I thought you were saying this would probably be your last episode.
No. I'm leaving for Miami on Friday, and I might be able to do one or two more episodes, but I'm not positive. But I probably will. So this probably won't be my last episode. But
okay,
in case it is, I just wanted to get a couple thanks out there. First to Johnny for thinking that a 14-year-old punk like me could actually write for the site. That was real nice.
And similarly to way back when Mr. Billy Bregamer. For hiring me at like 16 or something when I was in high school,
for real.
Yeah,
it was like I was like, I remember applying to the site and like 2 months had gone by and I was like super like, oh fuck, I didn't get it, and then like I'd pretty much given up hope on getting into the site. And I was like, well, I was trying to like justify it to myself like, well, it's probably for the best. I don't want to jump up the ladder too soon. and then I remember getting an email from Johnny saying like, so you want the job? I'm like, holy shit! So, like,
it just took me that long to go through all the
applications. Yeah, I know. It's a really long process.
I think
process.
That time I had over 100 applications for that job.
And I think the three that ended up coming out of that...
You are one of 100, sir.
Yeah, and only 3 people got on the staff. It was me, Vincent Anderson, who I don't think is... He's not with us anymore.
No, he's not.
And
Aaron?
Aaron was hired with Mike Gammon.
Okay,
they were like,
that's right.
Yeah, and the last person was Bonnie Ruberg.
Oh yeah,
Bonnie was
basically a freelancer for it.
I'm having a hard time remembering who I joined with, because I think I joined with Michael Cole.
I think
he come a little after me. I can't remember.
I seem to remember you guys being.
I seem to remember joining around the same time as Dragona as well.
And maybe Wendy?
No, Wendy was after Wendy because I was doing stuff and still hating Wendy at the time. I really hated Wendy for, well, not hated, but you know.
Rivalry.
We were rivals for a good many years.
Sure.
Yeah, because he was from Nintendo Next or Nintendo Nation.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I remember also David Trammell had rejoined the site about, like, I think it was like a few days after I came on.
That's right.
And it was, I remember like the first few days I was like I was so sure I was going to get fired.
No one gets, listen, top secret, no one gets fired.
Yeah, no one really gets fired.
They just disappear.
They just disappear.
I fired someone.
Oh, yes. But
that doesn't count. That's a totally separate
experience. That's a story for another day because it's too good to be told in like 5 minutes. But you know, I'm trying to think. I remember like my first assignment was the Louie Awards back when they were called the Louie Awards.
And, yeah, you were like compiling everything.
Right, and like organizing. I remember, you're like
it's a big job.
You're like, okay, your first job is the Louie Awards, and I'm like, okay. And in my head, I'm like, what the fuck is the Louie Awards?
And then you think, what a huge responsibility. And then you realize the only reason you did it is because it has a lot of bitch work involved.
Yeah, basically the whole thing is yelling at people like, hey, fucking vote. And then so we got that up, and I actually made a fatal error that I'm still kind of I never told anybody about in that awards.
did you miscount the awards?
Here's
are we gonna have to crown a new Miss California USA?
I might as well say it. It's do it. Here's the thing. I remember for the import category, WarioWare Twisted or what was it? WarioWare Twisted and
yeah,
oh, it's such
and,
a good game.
And
oh my
God. And Touched. We're both up for import. And they were in
oh, that's easy.
In Japanese, they were called Sawaru Maiden Wario and Marowaru Maiden Wario. And I didn't realize that they were different games. And that's why WarioWare Touched won that year.
WarioWare Touched won that year?
Yeah.
But WarioWare Twisted is way better.
I know, but...
Yeah, Touched kind of blows.
But Marowaru, which is Touch, I think... is was the last vote that came in, and so I'm like, that was the one that got it.
Oh my God. I hate you so much right now.
Oh,
and
that's
I remember I remember explicitly, Mike, you posted in the talkback thread for that article, like, I can't fucking believe WarioWare Twisted didn't win. And I'm like, and then I went back, I'm like, holy shit, I made a grievous mistake.
And you never told anybody? Oh my God.
I'm like, alright, no one's gonna know, I have all the votes.
Actually, it was actually marketing pressure from Nintendo.
Right.
Because Touch came out first, and they were like, tell you what, if you give the best import game to WarioWare Touch to promote the upcoming American release,
and Nintendo DS,
we'll give you this hat made of money.
Carl, I hate to say it, but due to your editorial indiscretions, we're going to have to fire you.
Gerstmann, I've been caned and lynched.
Sorry, Jeff. I'm sure you don't listen to this, but it was too easy to make that joke, and I'm sure you appreciate the humor in it.
Of course, sure.
If you want, you can send me an email, and I'll send you $5.
Absolutely.
That's even worse. That's even more belittling of me. I'm doubly sorry now.
But yeah, it's all in all, it's just been an awesome experience. Like, I remember...
but you never got to go to E3.
E3, but I am going to PAX this year, and you know, I know some of us are going to PAX, so I'll meet up with you guys.
I'll be trying to go to PAX as well.
Yeah,
I would like to.
Absolutely. I think Evan's gonna go, so I'm gonna meet up with him there, and then some of our West Coast guys are probably gonna go too, so I'll probably send them there. I remember one thing being really cool, like, just before we go, I want to count off a couple memories that I've cherished over the years, I guess. One was the first blah 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 that I didn't participate in, but I freaking read it the entire way through because it was actually done in email. Usually, the way we used to do blah blah blahs was we'd have a staff chat
room,
and then the transcript would be the blah blah blah. But in this one, it was like I think just an internal email that we were talking about, and then someone was like, "We should make this into a blah blah blah."
Yeah,
and it was really notable because it was called GameCube 64, and Justin Nation was a big part of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
Justin Nation.
Yeah, he can. I know. He wasn't around when I got hired. But he.
Yeah.
I think someone had just added his email address to the CC or whatever.
Justin would be interested in this.
And
no, it wasn't Justin. It was Rick Powers.
No. It was Justin Nation.
Really?
I'm so sure. Check it, Mike.
Go look it up, and we will cut a couple seconds out.
We'll cut a couple seconds out, but
or you guys can talk.
Oh yeah. But I'm serious. Like, I'm almost positive it was Justin Nation, and I remember being like, oh dude, this. I didn't really. I wasn't a 100%.
He's a legend.
He's a legend. he's...
Is that what you were thinking?
No, no, I was thinking, like, oh, this guy, like, everybody talks about this guy, like, he's, like, really revered, like, among, like, the readers of the site, so I was really, like, interested to see what he's talking about. Really insightful guy. I wish I could have gotten to know him, but unfortunately, like I said, he wasn't really around when I think he had left, like, a couple years before I got hired.
Yeah, he's been gone for a long time.
I did get to know Rick, who, even though he was in the sunset of his career at the site when I got hired, but I still got to know him pretty well, and he's a really cool guy. And actually, there's a lost episode of Ready for Nintendo that features Mr. Rick Powers.
You know, I should give him a call sometime and get him to do it.
Yeah, like
to come back and do it again.
Yeah, no, he was an absolute joy to talk to. We were talking about marketing, actually, and he is very, very well versed in marketing. Yeah,
more so, and I think he also has a degree in it, and I have a degree in it, but he knows shit ton more than I do.
Yeah,
it was Just the Nation.
Yes, yeah, it was Just the Nation was in fact in there. So if you want to check back to GameCube 64, go ahead and read that. And I remember,
yeah, I'll have to check that.
And the reason the site lambasting the article.
Because it was like anti Nintendo.
Oh yeah, yeah. They were like,
those are my favorite things we write, guys.
Yes. Oh, I love those.
Yeah,
most.
Ditto.
But
it's fun. Yeah.
That's my favorite part of the podcast.
You get a lot of stuff
too.
Off your chest.
So yeah. Other than that, like, you know, it's been really cool. Like, I've done a few conference calls. I remember my first conference call was with Namco, and they hung up on me and never called back. And
it's because you caught them in the middle of their merger.
Sure, with Namco Bandai, of course. It was for Sigma Star Saga, and I think the reason that the game is...
Oh, you didn't miss anything, yeah. By the way. That game is terrible.
I think the reason that the game didn't sell well is because they didn't have the final coverage of our website.
That's right.
So there you go. But yeah, guys,
well, also, it wasn't any good.
And the fact that was kind of terrible. But yeah.
I got a couple memories.
Sure.
So I know, my first E3 is going to be like a memory for the ages, I think. It was just like the most amazing thing because I finally got to meet all these people that I've been talking to on the internet for like... I don't know, like 2 years at the time.
Sure.
Because I couldn't go to the first E3 because I was, well, not the first E3, but the 2001 E3 I couldn't go to because I was only 17 at the time. And then I went to the 2002 E3 and got to play Mario and Metroid and Zelda, and it was probably, could be
my, that was the best
could
E3.
Be my favorite E3. It was, I mean, it was my first.
That was the best one.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just getting to know everyone and sneaking around and, like, you know, getting the Nintendo, or there was a year later where we got the Nintendo DS logo before anybody else. And the year before that,
right,
that I didn't go to, we had gotten the GameCube logo before anybody else by sneaking around the convention center. And those are just really amazing memories.
Yeah. I unfortunately was never able to attend E3 because I was hired at 14. And so by the time...
2002 was my favorite E3 also because that was the last year that Billy was in charge of the site. And so that was the last year that I got to have fun at E3. after that, I was the man in charge.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
It's just mainly stress after that.
It's too bad you couldn't go to E3 this year and enjoy that again.
Yeah,
because
Wendy would have been
Mr. Boss Man. You would have been.
But
able
I do
to,
like
sign
I
off.
Do I do also love having the memory of going to the last E3 ever, as Tycho from Penny Arcade calls it.
Yeah, it would have been really cool, I think, to go. But of course, I was home team hero.
Yeah,
home team is valuable.
Absolutely.
I did home team my first year, and it is crucial.
Home team for 3 years. I remember my first home team, Carly Young, like, basically coached me through it.
Upload screenshots.
She's a veteran.
Oh, yeah, she knows it better than most. And I remember Dan Bloworth being like, this is back when he was on the side, of course, and like he gave me, like, I think it was like 14 zip folders full of Mega Man screenshots.
Oh, God.
And of the various Mega Man games, and he's like, upload all of them.
And
this is at the time. This is at the time when you couldn't do batch upload on our site. And you had to go one by one by one by one.
Yeah, that was a nightmare.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
Well, Dan actually, it was a real trooper at E3 because he lived so close to the convention that he would go home every night after all the other crazy stuff during the day, and then a big dinner with the staff and everything. We'd have a meeting, and then he would go home and do home team stuff. So he was really doing the away team and the home team.
Yeah, we're all sitting around.
That guy did not sleep
all
week.
We wrote a lot of stuff in the hotel, but we didn't do near as much work as Dan Blumworth did.
Yeah, because we didn't have really as good of a computer access.
We could write stuff on a laptop, maybe, but there's no way to get it on the site, so you would just like spill out a whole bunch of impressions and then have nothing to do because you couldn't get them up.
Right.
Right. Well, anyway, if you guys are done with your memories, I just want to say that, I'm not even in charge anymore, but I really appreciate... what you guys have done for the site for a long time. And of course, you know, we're all volunteers, so it's pretty amazing.
Sure.
When you hear Obi say things like, well, I've had such a good time and I've learned so much and it's really helped me and all this stuff. You know, I know that he really means
that.
Yeah,
this is on my, this is genuinely on my resume.
Oh yeah, mine too. Mine too as well.
Yeah, ditto.
Absolutely.
Oh, totally. This is a number one on
my
resume.
This is my principal job experience. Like it's absolutely been
it's good though. It's leadership and it's deadlines and it's things that you need to know when you have an actual job.
Yeah, like this is like the only reason I was able to get a paying job for a while working at the Miami Herald back home was because I had like tons and tons of bylines at Planet GameCube. Like,
this is fantastic, and I really hope. Well, I'm embedded at my job now, so you know, I've been working there for over a year and a half. But when I first applied,
you're tenured.
I'm not quite tenured, but you know, I'm not unproven now. I'm proven that I know what I'm doing, etc. But when I first got hired, you know, it says Planet GameCube on my resume, and there, you know, there's a fair, because I'm in the Comtech section of my office, which includes a fair amount of, you know, geeky kind of people, you know, technology-oriented people, and I don't think they didn't know that Planet GameCube was not affiliated with GameSpy. And I think that was a genuine plus on my resume that I had experience working on a major website, and I told them, you know, I told one of the tech guys I'm not, you know, part of that, but I don't think they all knew that.
Right. Oh, I gotta tell this really quick story of someone asking me about Planet GameCube. I was at GameStop, and someone asked me like if I wanted to pre-order some game. And I'm like, oh no, I'm actually getting that game for free because I'm reviewing it. And he's like, oh, do you work for like a website or something? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, what website? I was like, Planet GameCube. And he kind of like coughed and said, oh, I've never heard of it. I'm like, well, yeah, not all of us are lucky enough to work at GameStop.
Okay.
Industry insider, pal.
So then I elbowed him in the face and walked out.
Did you knock over a magazine rack too?
Of course.
That's a joke for the gaffers.
Of course, yeah. So I all right, guys. I mean, literally, I could go on all freaking day about you know, cherished memories at the site, but maybe for my actual last show, maybe we'll have a feature where we can just talk about old shit.
We'll find the best of Carl quotes and we'll just string them all together and it'll
yeah.
be like,
you
awesome.
Can do it. You can do a drinking game for every time I say anyway.
Ooh, yeah.
Or on the other side of this break.
Or on the other side of this break, or stay tuned, or any of one of my various catchphrases.
Oh, God, it took me so long to get you weaned off of stay tuned.
I still say it. I say
there's
it
nothing to stay tuned to. It's an MP3 or an AAC
it's like,
file.
It's like a classic radio, like...
Yeah.
It's like tuning your attention.
Yeah.
So,
don't
Carl, what's going to happen to the show?
I have offered the host spot to you, Johnny.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess you've heard of it.
I don't know. We're also going to bring back our good friend.
I'll try.
You're going to give it a shot. I talked to James Jones, who's our community manager, and he says he's going to be able to edit it.
Sweet.
So he's going to take on my producer credit, because right now I'm host, producer, and writer for the show.
I'm just the talent.
Yeah, Mike's just he just brings the face.
Yeah.
The face of radio.
Yeah.
But yeah, so and so James Jones is going to be our new producer, if you want to call him that, and our good old buddy in the UK, Greg Leahy, is going to be our second chair.
Well, that's awesome, because Greg is amazing.
Greg's awesome.
I talked to him once and I fucking love him. He's awesome.
Greg is
So we're going to start our own little one up yours here. So I'll be like the drunken older guy hosting.
Sure.
And then we'll have our European sophisticated guy.
You can play John. And then the other two guys are frequently are just always in flux because they're always getting hired at better jobs.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. So you guys are both going to Bungie, right?
Of course.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, yeah, I don't know. I really want to go on and talk about more, but we're gonna have to end the show.
We'll save it.
We'll save it. We'll get it.
We'll do the best.
If you want to hear any of like, if you want to hear stories about NintendoWorldReport.com or anything like that, send your emails to rfn@NintendoWorldReport.com.
I will be writing a tell-all book after I leave, so stay tuned.
Exactly.
I've thought about that sometimes. That I should one day when I'm done with the website and everything, I'm gonna write a book about all this. And I think, who would want to read that?
I would.
Listen, just put it.
I don't think I could
dump
it
all on the Wikipedia.
Exactly. Yeah. Put it all on our Wikipedia page.
Here's crazy. Wikipedia didn't exist when I first started at this website.
Whoa. I think.
No.
What? Did it?
Did Wikipedia?
No, it didn't.
No,
oh,
it didn't.
Okay.
It's crazy.
All right.
Now it's full of information.
It's full of vital information that may or may not be true.
And also fan fiction.
And also lots of
quite fan fiction.
Well, depends on how you look at it.
There are many, there's many articles about particle physics as there are about episodes of Lost and stuff like that.
Very true.
No. If you go to alright, you want to see something really screwy? Go to Wikipedia sometime and search for Sonic the Hedgehog, and you'll find fan fiction.
Wow.
It is a really disturbing encyclopedia entry, I'll put it that way.
So if you want to hear about Sonic the Hedgehog fan fiction, send all your emails to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com.
That's right.
Head on over to dig.com. This is the last time I'm going to be able to say it, Johnny. I got to say it. Dig.com.
Yeah, I'm not going to be saying it.
/podcast/radio_free_Nintendo_MP3. Press that little dig button. I want to get to 1,000 digs by our next show. What do we have now?
How many do we have now?
40.
That might happen.
All right. It's coming, baby. It's coming. All right. So you can also go to iTunes and subscribe because you want to subscribe to our last show. I promise that for our last show, I'm going to be putting in a lot of like extras into the iTunes feed with like extra pictures and various stuff that you really want to... It's like basically...
The bonus features on your DVD.
Exactly. The one that's going to go up on the site is like a theatrical release. What's going to go up on the iTunes feed is like director's cut with like DVD features.
Maybe even some extra segments in there.
Perhaps.
And if it was possible, we could do a commentary track. But
just audio over audio. And
yeah,
then
I don't think that works.
That would be confusing.
We can write the commentary into the little art window and you can just read along.
Sure. This is the part where Mike dropped his beer. Exactly. All right, guys. So I think we're done. So... Mike, Johnny, it's been a pleasure serving with you both.
As always.
Ditto.
And
back to you.
Sayonara, folks.
See ya.